Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Deborah Deans and the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries. And I'm so delighted on tonight that you have chosen to worship and study with us on this evening. I just want to call our study in the Word, our Bible class, to order this evening. I want to sing a song, a hymn, read a scripture, and pray, and then we're going to get started in the Word of God. Shine on me, shine on me. I wonder if the lighthouse will shine on me, glory, shine on me. I wonder if the lighthouse will shine the voice of Jesus say, come on to me and rest, lie down thy weary one, lie down thy head upon my breast. Shine on me, glory, shine on me. I wonder if the lighthouse will shine on me. Our scripture reading will be coming from Psalms 119, starting with verse 73. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hope in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercy come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dwell perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies, let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I may not be ashamed. I have just read you from Psalms 119, from verse 73 down to verse 80. May God richly add a blessing to the readers, the hearers, but most of all, the doers of his most holy word. Father, we come this evening humble before your throne of grace, Lord, asking you to forgive me for every known and unknown sin, Lord, that we've committed against you. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we come this evening, Father, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, asking you right now, Lord, if we've offended anyone in any kind of way, Lord, we ask you to forgive us right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, search our hearts, our minds, and our spirit. If there is anything in there, Lord, that should not be, Father, we ask you to remove it right now. In the name of Jesus, we ask you today, Father, to create in us a clean heart and renew in us a right spirit today and a sound mind on this evening, Lord. We come today, Father, first of all, Father, asking you right now, Lord, to bind up the strong man this evening. Oh, Lord, we ask you this evening, Lord, to bind the strong man, Lord, in the mighty, bind the strong man, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Every negative word, Lord, every negative thought that he planted, every evil and wicked thing, Father, every demonic thought and thing, Lord, we ask you to bind it right now, in the name of Jesus, and loose it from us, in the name of Jesus. Send it back to the pits of hell, where it comes from. Every demon on assignment, we cancel your assignment this evening, in the name of Jesus. Lord, now I ask you right now to let me decrease 100% today, that the Holy Ghost may increase 100%, Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, I give my will up. I lay my will down, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I'm asking you today, Father, to take over and take control of our Bible class. In the name of Jesus, take over today, Lord, and take control. Oh, yes, Lord, change the atmosphere. In the name of Jesus, I give you all the praise today, and I give you glory. Hallelujah. I give you all of my time, and I give you glory today. Lord, I ask you to open up our understanding, Lord. Open our minds up, Father, so we can understand what the teaching is about. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for it all. And I ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. We give God praise on today. We just thank and praise him for who he is. Hallelujah. In our lives today, this will probably be our last, because we're in chapter 13 of Zechariah. And it only go to 14. So we should be through on tonight. And God will give me something else to teach on. Just waiting on him. Amen. And in chapter 13, back around chapter 13, it's talking about the cleansing of Israel. The cleansing of Israel. And I'm just going to talk a little bit about, you know, some things that we talked about in the previous chapters, and then we're not going to stay on that too long. We want to go right into it because we do want to finish the book on tonight. In the previous chapters, we've seen a very definite progress through a program which began with the first coming of Christ to the earth. At that time, he had into Jerusalem, and he had been sold for just a few pieces of silver at that time. Only part of the prophecy of Zechariah was fulfilled at his first coming, which indicates that the other part will be fulfilled at the end, at his second coming. He was rejected, the good shepherd, who gave his life for the sheep. Another is to come in the future. He hasn't come yet. and won't appear until the church is removed from the earth. He will be the false shepherd who will lead the nation of Israel as well as the world into the great tribulation period. So that'll happen after the rapture. That will happen after the rapture, and then the great tribulation period will come. The only deliverance at that time will be the second coming of Christ to the earth when he comes to establish his kingdom here on earth. And only he alone can bring peace to this earth, nobody else. It won't be no peace till the second coming. Send papers down, some of this stuff I've written down because I want to make sure we get everything in tonight. Not only will Christ's kingdom be characterized by truth, it will be characterized by holiness and righteousness, as we will see in verse 1 and 2 of the chapter before us, and in chapter 14, we shall see that even the bells on the horses and the pots and the pans in the temple would be holy to the Lord. Ooh, my God. Also, the kingdom would be characterized by freedom from fear. We will find that aspect in chapter 14. That will happen over in chapter 14. Let me see. All of these are spiritual, not physical, aspects of the kingdom. And the chief one is peace. When Christ comes to reign, he will speak peace unto the nations. We have been following Zechariah's prophecies, God's program, which will ultimately bring permanent peace to the world. When Christ comes the first time, he was rejected and sold and turned over to the Gentiles who crucified him. Then a period of time lapses, which Zechariah does not deal with. It is the church period which we are living today. When it ends, there will appear the worthless shepherd, the Antichrist. He won't usher in the kingdom. He will bring in the great tribulation period. At that time, he would be like the world dictator. He would have the world dictatorship and can only be ended by the coming of Christ to establish his kingdom upon the earth. This is what we have before us in chapter 13. So I'm going to start, and it's more that I've written down, but I'm going to start with the verse 1 here. It says, and we're still, like I say, talking about the national cleansing of Israel. 13 says, in that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. In that day, we have already determined that that day refers to the great tribulation and moves on into the millennium kingdom. In that day, Christ will come to the earth at the end of the great tribulation, and then he will establish his kingdom. Now, this verse does not refer to the first coming of Christ. At that time, he did not open up a fountain to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Instead, they rejected him and crucified their Savior. Even Paul writes in Romans 10 and 3, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. A fountain is God's cleansing power, which was opened by Christ's death upon the cross. After his first coming, Israel rejected their messenger, their Savior. And in this fountain will be open to them at his second coming to the earth. Now, the chapter before us continues the presentation of God's program. And we saw in chapter 12 that in that day, God will pour out his spirit upon people of Israel. The prophet Joel speaks of that also. It is this time that the fountain will be open to them, which will be when they realize that the fact that Christ was crucified for them. We have seen that they are going to look up on him. Remember that this is God's word, and he puts it very definitely. They shall look upon me when they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him. It's going to be a real day of atonement for these people. When Christ comes the second time, they are going to be greatly moved, and the Spirit of God will remove the veil from their eyes. They'll be able to see. I hear apostles all the time talk about that people are blind and they cannot see. Paul makes it clear that the veil can be taken away even today if they really want to give up their sin. Because sin is keeping that veil right there. But until they give up the things, the sin, and we all sin and fall short. And that's not just for a license for us to run out and sin, but we all do. You see, the problem with man is heart trouble, not head trouble, but heart trouble. No man really has an intellectual problem. He hasn't got enough mentally to deal with the creator of this universe. He can't do it. His problem is that he does not want to give up his sins. That is true of the people of Israel, and it's true of the Gentiles. It is true of all of us. You just got to face it. But then I say all the time, if it's something you can change, if it's something you can do, I think you should be doing it. You know, I was telling you all that I had to apologize, ask for forgiveness for somebody, for my sister, and I did it last week. Oh, you know, people were saying, oh, she gonna think she right because you went to her. I told them, I said, I don't care what she thinks. I don't care what she thinks. I care what God think about me. I don't care what man thinks. I don't care how, she probably did go back and say, they was wrong because she can't. I don't care what they say. I don't care what they think. All I care is what God thinks. And if I had to ask for forgiveness again, if I had to apologize again, I would do it again. Because I don't have to been and done nothing. But if I offend you, or if you think I've done something, I'm going to apologize. I'm going to ask for forgiveness not only from the person, but from God. And if I'm right, I'm just right. But if I'm wrong, I don't want to sit there when I can open my mouth and say, forgive me if I've offended you, if I hurt you in any kind of way. That's a prayer I pray every day. Lord, if I've hurt anyone, forgive me. But if I want you to forgive anybody that ever hurt me, forgive them. We got to get to that point because we don't want little stuff like that standing between God and I. I can't have it. If it's something I can humble myself and do, then I'm doing it. And believe me, my sister was dead wrong. She was wrong. But the way I dealt with it, I should have said something then, but what I did was I blocked her from me. I blocked her from my phone. I blocked her from my Facebook. You know, get that. And I popped. She said, what you were apologizing for? I told her exactly what I did. I said, because I was upset with you for the way you did. And she still, well, I think I was right. And I think, okay, ain't no problem. I said, you know I love you. I love you very much. And I just ask your forgiveness for doing that. Because, see, I don't have no shame. I got the love of God in my life. So what you think is boosting your ego, I'm just trying to please God. And so that's the way we're going to have to be. Because we can't hold that thing. I know my daughter just didn't feel right about it. You know, she didn't say a whole lot. And I explained it to her. I said, look, I said, she hurt all of us. Yeah, mama, but she really hurt me. I understand that. But you got to forgive her. And it may take you longer than it took me. It's okay. It's okay. But make sure you do it. Really, we're not supposed to go to bed with stuff in us, on us, or we ain't supposed to go to bed like that. Because we might not wake up the next day. And we don't have a chance to do what we're supposed to do. So every day, we ought to not have any, hold anything in our hearts. We ought to forgive every day. And we ought to ask God for forgiveness every day before we go to bed. So I wouldn't, you know, I did what I had to do. I asked her to forgive me. You know, and when you can do that, God see your heart. God know what's in your heart. And you being who you are in Christ, don't hold nothing in there. Because I don't want nothing and nobody standing in between me and God. Because I love him so much. And he loved me in spite of all this stuff I went through, or he went through and I did. All these things he done forgave me for. He's still forgiving me. All these years, he still give me mercy. Still give us mercy. So we got to let it go. The problem is with our heart, man's heart. That's where the problem comes. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 2 says, "And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean pass out of the land. And it shall come to pass in that day," again, he dates it as being in that day, "I will cut off the names of idols out of the land when they were in Babylon," or in the Babylonian captivity, they took the gold cure. That is, they gave up idolatry as they had observed it before. The golden calves were never put back at Daniel and Bethel, but they were still using the little household paraffins and other little seedy things, you know, little idols, and they call them fetish, messing with them and worshiping. Even today, a great many so-called civilized folks think that if they wear a certain object or if they put up a certain little gadget somewhere, it will ward off harm. That was the kind of idolatry that the people of Israel were engaged in. Also, they dealt with the zodiac. And I see that today. People wear look like rosaries and all that stuff. You can't do all that. That's idolatry. That's what it is. You can't worship all that kind of stuff. Even the zodiac signs. I see people talking about Virgo, and believe me, I used to do it. I used to read that stuff every day. But listen to me. When I learned better, I did better. When you know to do right, do right. Stop messing with that stuff because it's idolatry. It's not right. We have to learn until we know God we're going to be beat with some stripes because we didn't know. But the ones, and do you know, the ones that know, they're going to be beat with a many stripes. Glory to God. They're going to be beat with a many stripes because they know to do this, and they don't do it. You cannot hold on to that stuff. It's God and God alone that causes and allows things to happen. All this praying to this statue. What was I in? Get my nails done. And the African girl, I guess she didn't see that Buddha sitting up there. She asked the man, she said, can I have a mango? And he just kept on filing my fingernail. She said, excuse me, is those mangoes for sale? He looked up at him. He said, those are Buddha's mangoes. I started to snap my hand back from him. No. So got out of there quickly. Yeah, because they put that stuff down in front of these statues like they real. It ain't nothing but idolatry. And us that know better, we cannot do that. We can't do it, I'm telling you. Mm-mm. All this little stuff, I'm going to put this over here. I'm going to put this over my door. I'm going to put this up under my pillow and all this kind of stuff. Mm-mm. You can't do that. We cannot do that. That's fetish. That's what they call that fetish stuff. Objects and stuff, a rabbit's foot and all this kind of mess. We can't do that. We got to totally depend only on God. Only. Not no other thing. Oh, this brought me good luck. Or my horoscope sign said today. No. I don't care what it said today. God just ain't taking that stuff. He ain't having it no more. He will not have it anymore. Mm-mm. And also said, I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. The prophets are, of course, the false prophets in that day. The unclean spirits refer to demons. We live in a world where demons are very active and attention is being called to them at the present time. Now, see, the other morning, y'all know when I was praying last week or 2 weeks ago and all the lights went off in my house. It was 3 mornings ago, about 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, I was praying, and I was talking to Prophet Estella about it. I always, that's why I tell you it's important to bind up the strong man, because you cannot defend hardly against demons if you don't bind the strong. You can't pray against them, like plead the blood of Jesus against my life. You can't do it unless you bind the strong man. That's what the word of God says. So I did that. And the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, had me to bind the strong man. So he started having me, letting me pray the way he wanted me to pray. And when I tell you, the force came through that head. Communion cups sitting on my altar. It's about 30 of them, 25, 30 communion cups sitting up there. Looked like somebody took their hand and just knocked them all off on the floor. It's about 30. I said, my God, I didn't stop speaking in tongues and praying in tongues. I just started looking. I said, my God, it wasn't nothing but a force, because the way the Holy Spirit had me praying, it's against the powers of darkness. See, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. See, and when he had me praying like that, it moved something, you know, in the atmosphere. And that thing was so fiercely angry. It's just like somebody just took their hand and knocked all them cups down. I left some down there. I picked some up. I said, and it's one thing about me, and this is what I said to that demon. I said, I ain't afraid of nobody, not one demon. Hallelujah. When I step in the room, you need to step out. The forces and power that was in there left, too, because I wasn't leaving. Both of us can't stay in my prayer room. But that's how I was, and that was the second time something happened in 1 month while I was praying. So now I've started to watch and pay more closely. My eyes are closed, but I'm talking about watching in the spirit realm, because they don't like for you to pray. And when you doing something in the spirit, when you affecting something, when their prayers is going up before God, they don't like that. They don't like it because I call them the way it is. I call it the way the Holy Ghost is. I give the Holy Ghost control, and he don't like it. So we have to be careful about how we pray and about how we do things. We can't do things any kind of way. You got these little things. I forgot. It's almost like a nut or something. They used to put in their purses and things for money and all this kind of stuff. We can't do this. We can't do this. We only supposed to depend on God for what we need and not all this other stuff. This going to bring me money if I put it. I heard people killing little white spiders, putting them in their purse or wallets to bring money. But you can't do that. You can depend on God. He is the one that, he's our supplier. He's our source and our resource. He is our provider. He's everything. We can't depend on putting no spider in our wallet to bring no money. We can't. God is God. So, and then it said, I will cause the prophet and the unclean spirits to pass out of the land. Those are the false prophets. The unclean spirits refers to the demon. Every demon on assignment, this should be your prayer. Your assignment is canceled. Every demon on assignment in my life or in my family life, in my ministry life, my church life, I wage war against you. Now, that's my prayer. Every demon on assignment, your assignment is canceled. Because this is how we're going to have to pray very soon. Because these demons are, it's more and more coming. And we're going to have to learn how to pray against them. Because they know how to mess with us. And I'm telling you, when you're making a difference in the realm of the spirit in dimensions, because I prayed for a prophet or apostle, and she was saying, and she was here when the lights went off that night and the copy machine started copying and all kind of stuff was happening. She said the spirit went through your house. And when I told her about what happened the other morning, she said, you are affecting them and they don't like it. And I don't care. Because any way God can use me, I want him to do that. I'm not afraid. And believe me, that wasn't the only thing happened, because I was studying with me and Apostle in one room. I'm hearing stuff moving in another room. I said, Apostle, you hear that? He said, yeah, I hear it. Same day now, something else was happening. But see, I started binding the root of spirit. See, that spirit that comes up against the pastor and things, the apostles and the leaders, the root of spirit. See, we got to know how to pray. We got to know how to come against these things. We got to try to make a difference. Because I'm telling you, the prophetic intercessor, I don't care if it's an apostle, the doctor, the pastor, whatever it is, I'm an intercessor. And I'm a prophetic intercessor. And however God want to use me to pray, here I am, Lord. Mm-hmm. And so they don't like it, but you gotta the blood of Jesus constrains us. We got to do what the Lord say do. I don't care what it seems like. I don't care what it looks like, but we got to keep that. Every unclean spirit to pass out of the land. When I pray for the city of Southfield. I pray for this subdivision first, whether they want to be prayed for or not. I tell the Lord, whether they want to be covered or not, Lord, cover them. Cover this subdivision. Cover the city of Southfield. Cover the state of Michigan. I pray for the state of Missouri. I pray for the state of Illinois. I do this every day because God requires me to do that. The unclean spirits, these demons out of these states, every state needs to be covered, not just my house. I want the people that live around me to know that I'm here and I'm praying. They're going to feel the effects because I know they hear me when I pray. Because don't nobody be up for me. So I have to pray how God, how the Holy Ghost lead me to pray. And I thank and praise God that he give me an opportunity to pray. I thank God that he give me an opportunity to pray for the people. He could get anybody to do it. But I thank God that I can pray for people every day of my life. I thank God. Some, you know, and in the last days, like it is now, like the things are going on and happening now, you know, how they was talking about Hillary and Trump and all this. I don't really care because I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. We have to be careful because we know Hillary is a woman, and women shouldn't be over all this. So we got ourselves a team. So we're going to have to deal with it. This is some of the stuff we're going to have to deal with. It's not going to affect us if we truly in the Lord. If our foundation is the right foundation, if it's built up on what it's supposed to be built up on, it ain't going to affect us. But when I tell you, sit back and watch what's going to happen. Because God's been showing me, stay on your knees, stay on your face, keep your face in the corner, seek his face. It's getting close. And I feel like Satan done leased some heavy demons, a lot of a demon, some outbreaks of demon activities been going on. Because in here, in my house, I know they upset with me, but they can stay upset. I don't really care. But the end of the age is near. The end of the age. And we got to just, it ain't nothing but because Jesus is coming. He's coming. Mm-hmm. And the reason why this passage is so important is that it's the only place that speaks of the demons being put out of the earth during the millennium. Because that's why he was saying here that the unclean spirit is going to pass out of the land. God's going to put them off the earth while the millennium is taking place. The book of Revelation tells us that about that too. the false prophets and the Antichrist being put out of the earth, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophets that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshiped. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. That's Revelation chapter 19, verse 20. And Satan will be bound during the millennium period. He's supposed to be bound then. Revelation 20, chapter 20, verses 1 through 3. And so we know that the false prophet and the Antichrist will be in the lake of the fire, and the devil will be bound in the bottomless pit. Nothing is said in the book of Revelation about the final casting out of demons, but it is logical, and it should, we know that it's going to happen because it's in the Word of God, to believe that it will be done at this time also, and that they will be put in one place or another, in hell or in the bottomless pit or wherever at that time. But this is so important because this is the only place I know besides Revelation in Zechariah that it speaks of casting the unclean spirits out of the land, out of the nations, and put them into the bottomless pit and like that. But we're going to move on because I want to. We on Zechariah chapter 13, verse 3. And it shall come to pass that when any shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother that begot him shall say unto him, thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and his mother that begot him shall thrust him through when he prophesies. That seems like strong, a hard thing. But the day is coming when God's children are going to put him first. They betrayed him the first time he came, and he is being betrayed in our day. But in the future day, they're going to be faithful to him, even if the one who prophesied falsely is their own son. See, the people, they're not going to have it. Like, we shouldn't be having it today, but we're not really focusing today. God's going to take this veil off our eyes so we will be able to see some. He's going to take the veil off our eyes. We're going to be able to see here soon. And we're not going to have false prophets around us. We're not going to sit up and let our kids lie and all this kind of stuff. We're not going to do it. We're not going to allow it. If you got to do this, if you got to do that, get out. If you around here worshiping idols and doing all this, leave. We're not a part of you. And this was mother and daddy, the ones that brought you in the world, thrusting him because he was prophesying falsely. Verse 4 says, and it shall come to pass in that day that the prophets shall be ashamed every one of his vision when he hath prophesied, neither shall they wear a rough garment to deceive. Now, there are two things that's interesting here. First, when the Lord comes, the false prophets will be ashamed, deeply convicted of their deceptiveness. They will be disgraced because the Lord Jesus has come and made liars out of every one of them. The second thing here is that neither shall they wear a rough garment to deceive. The garment worn by the prophets was a mantle of rough, untamed sheepskin or goat skin or a cloak of camel's hair. That's when Esau was born. It is said that he looked like this kind of hairy garment. The prophet Elijah wore the type of mantle, and it was the mantle that fell up under the successor Elijah. It was a garment which distinguished a man as a prophet of God. And the false prophet will feel guilty about trying to impersonate a true prophet. You see, Zechariah was not introducing something new, but something that was very familiar to the folk of his day. Now, see, we have a lot of people that have the gift of prophet, that have the gift of prophecy, but are not prophets. See, when God first called me as a prophet, or before he called me, I'll say that because I know I was a prophet from my mother's womb, but I guess before I was really in, he put me in it all the way, I was telling people I was a prophet because I could hear him. And he spoke to me one day. He said, "Don't tell nobody else. You a prophet, I'll scare me to death." I didn't tell nobody either. I didn't tell nobody that I was a prophet, nobody else, because he said not to. But believe me, he still used me as a prophet. And because I heard that voice, because he told that to me, I was in a church service, and he was wanting me to lay hand on this lady, and I just thought, no, this is not me. I shouldn't be doing this, and I'm doing everything I can to pull back because I'm thinking, hey, he said I wasn't no prophet, you know, and believe me, that Holy Ghost slung me over there in front of that lady, like, get over there now and put your hands on the back of her leg. And I had never been to this place before. I was a young woman. I went over there and I was crying my eyes out because I surely didn't want to be doing what God didn't want me to do. And so I did it. And he was telling me where to lay my hand at and stuff like that because she was in so much pain. It was a young lady. And when I finished, he said, "That was me. I told you to do that." And I'm just confused. And I had to just have it out there. Either I'm one, I'm not. I'm a prophet, I'm not. He said, "I'm using your gifts, your prophetic gifts." He said, "You will be ordained as a prophet." And so after that, I didn't worry about it. But some of us got the gift of prophecy. God used us how he wanted to use us. It's just like every preacher is not a pastor. Every preacher not supposed to pastor. God didn't call every preacher or minister to pastor. He called some of them, and some of them he called to preach and to minister. It's a difference. But with the prophetic, God will use your gifts, and he'll call you into it when he's ready. When he's ready. Well, we got to get that in our spirit. We just got to get in our spirit. So the prophet should be ashamed for falsely prophesying. There's a lot of people lying on God. It's a lot of people. And that's why a lot of times I wouldn't say a word. I would hear. And I would, you know, make sure I hear him. He'll make somebody else say what I was supposed to say. He said that was me. I could hear that. So I started trying to hear because I was younger. Now I know God's voice. I know God, how God do things. I know when he's trying to tell me something or show me something. I know it. So I thank and praise God for that today, that I know his voice when I hear it. I don't care if I'm, when I'm asleep, I can still hear him. Because it's just like in the Word of God. If you sleep, as soon as he, nobody else will hear it, but you're going to hear him. When he woke me up that Easter Sunday morning early to show me his glory, he didn't holler my name, Deborah. He didn't do that. He would have woke everybody else up. But it was the way that he woke me up. And I said, yes, sir, I knew. With his voice sounding like it was no man. You know, no human man. It was God. And what he showed me, I wasn't asleep, I was awake. So we have to know the voice of God. We have to know his voice. But he shall say, I am no prophet. I am an husbandman. For man taught me to keep cattle from my youth. The man who were false prophets will go back to the farm. Now, see, I know a young man right today that can preach and know that word. But he said, well, I did it then, but I ain't doing it now. You can't quit. Once God called you to preach, you can't just stop. That's not the way to work now. All things is on God, because he's the only person I know. And this was something someone else said, the only person I know that can fire you and still have you preaching. We can't quit. He can fire us, though. But we can't quit. Once he calls you, you call. Nothing else you can do about it. You can't quit. It don't work like that. Verse 6 says, and one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thy hand? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friend. Wounded in the house of my friend has been translated by some people as wounded in the house of those who love me. Well, they didn't love him the first time he came. He was rejected. They hated him. Scripture says that they hated him without a cause. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. John chapter 1, verse 11. But to as many as received him at that time, he gave the authority to become sons of God. Well, when the Spirit is poured out, they're going to receive him, and they will wonder, saying, where did you get those wounds in your hands? And that's what the verse is saying. And he will answer, I was wounded here when I came the first time. He came to his own people, the Jewish race. The woman of Samaria recognized him as a Jew. These were his people. The only and only a remnant received him at that time. And actually, it will be only a remnant who will receive him at his second coming. Because believe me, they ain't going to know who he is. They're going to think it's a flying saucer or something. They don't know who he is. It's going to be more people to recognize who he is, but it's not going to be everybody. It's not going to be everybody. Verse 7 says, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand upon the little one. Now, this refers to the time that he was smitten In fact, when Christ was here, the first time he said that this verse applies to himself as we should see it. We immediately identify this remarkable passage of scripture with, they shall look upon him, on me, whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him. And that's in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. Awake, O sword, against my shepherds and against the man that is my fellow, said the Lord of hosts. The Lord God is the speaker, and Christ, Sire, is the person spoken of. The man that is my fellow would be better translated, the man, my equal, or the man of my union. This is from the Old Testament reference to the deity of Christ. Might the shepherd and the sheep shall scatter, be scattered. Who would have had thought that this would refer to the Lord Jesus Christ? We know it does not, because Jesus himself quotes it. Then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. You see, he makes it applicable to himself. If you doubt that God has a future purpose for Israel, you need to think this over carefully. In the prophecies that we have here, which relates to the first and the second coming of Christ, did the Lord Jesus lie? No. He says that Zechariah was referring to him when he said, smite the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. And when he comes to the second time, they will ask, what are these wounds, these nail prints in your hand? And he answered, his answer would be, and he answered and said, I received these in the house of my friend. And as we saw in chapter 12, they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourning for his only son. This will be the great day of atonement for the Jewish people, and obviously it is for the future time. It shall come to pass, this chapter, verse 8. It shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and died, but the third shall be left therein. The third shall be left therein refers to some remnant that shall act. What are these wounds in thy hand? Anybody else is going to be, you know, gone in all of this, but they're not going to receive. But the ones that's going to ask him about the wounds in the hand, that's going to be the remnant, the third that's going to be left. They will have come through the horrors of the great tribulation period, in which two-thirds of their people have perished. See, that third going to be the remnant, going to believe in who Jesus is. The other folks going to perish and be in Hades somewhere. In the last verse, let me see how many minutes we got. And the clock, okay. And the last verse says, and I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. That's wonderful. That's a blessing. These are the ones who would take a stand for Christ and would be faithful to him. They will make it through the great tribulation, because He has sealed them. That's over in Revelation chapter 7, verses 1 through 8. Then we see them again in Revelation chapter 14. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Sinai, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their forehead. And they sung as it was a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. It's Revelation chapter 14, verse 1. He's going to redeem them, hallelujah, like he sent his only begotten son to redeem us back to the Father. It's going to happen again with 144,000. That's chapter 13 of Zechariah, and I'm just sorry to say, I'm not apologizing for the word of God, but we got it one more chapter. I was trying to get both chapters in, but it's so good that we need to know this stuff. We need to know. I don't want nobody that's sitting up under me not knowing what the word of God says. We all going to know what this word says, and we're going to know exactly what it means by the help of the Holy Ghost. So I just want to thank everyone in Radio Land and thank all of you that's on our radio broadcast for staying on with me. As long as you did, we're going to get ready to close up. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you this evening, Father, for the study of your word. I give you praise, we give you praise, and we give you glory. I ask you to bless everyone under the sound of my voice and their families, Lord, and camp your angels all around about them to protect them. Lord, I ask you to cover them, whether they're driving, walking, on the bus or in the plane or on the train. Cover them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we give you praise, and we thank you for the understanding. We thank you for opening up our understanding, Lord, and we give you praise. We ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen, and thank God. You all are dismissed. You have a blessed rest of the Sabbath because the Sabbath already started. And God bless you. I will talk with you on Sunday at 3 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Eastern. God bless you. I love you all. Have a good rest of the evening. Good night.